Hello and welcome to the 46th episode of Woman, Conversations for the Curious, a podcast I created for women looking to squeeze more juice out of life. I'm Amy Crawford, founder of The Holistic Ingredient. I'm a mindset therapist, whole food lover, and more than a little bit passionate about helping you feel comfortable around what it is to be a woman. Today's episode is brought to you by my delicious organic maca powder blend, a highly nutritious blend of yellow, red, and black maca powder, sustainably sourced from Peru and used by women to naturally balance hormones, boost energy, mood, and libido, improve skin health, and reduce stress. Enjoy your daily dose in a smoothie, your breakfast muesli, or stirred into a hot choc. You can grab your own pouch online now at theholisticingredient.com. Now, towards the end of 2022, I had the absolute pleasure of interviewing Ayurvedic practitioner Jodi Fasalo on the benefits of aging well with Ayurveda. Following that release of the podcast episode, I received countless messages from listeners, some in tears, sharing how much they'd been moved and felt seen by Jodi's words. I was so moved personally by this discussion that I commenced one-on-one consults with Jodi, and I'm already enjoying the benefits of changes she has inspired. If you haven't yet listened to episode 39, part one of three discussions I'm having with Jodi, I encourage you to go back and do that before you listen to this one. I promise you will not regret it. So Jodi, I just want to make sure that you are aware of how much of an impact you've had on those who have listened to your first episode, to our first episode together, and to thank you so much for taking the time to firstly share your wisdom in that episode, but also come back. Seriously.
Thank you. It's an absolute honor to be back, and it just brings me so much joy to realize and see and hear that people are starting to warm to and embrace Ayurveda. I've been in this swimming pool feels like on my own for quite some time now, and it's really lovely to hear how it's starting to really resonate with women and, you know, speak to them in a way that they're feeling drawn to it now.
It's certainly helped me understand what a crucial conversation this is for women, particularly around midlife and beyond, simply even from the messages I've been receiving from people. I've had women crying in voice messages on Instagram because for the first time at this stage in their life, they feel seen. And although many of us may have a team of health and wellness practitioners around us, sometimes it just takes the right words, doesn't it? The right person and the right words and the right wisdom. And you have just already, since the recording of that episode, touched so many lives. So thank you. And I was just so delighted that you were happy to come back.
Well, thank you for asking me back. I really appreciate it. And I think for me, you know, the conversation between women who are in this midlife time needs to be encouraged, you know, because I think in the past I've witnessed women just shut up shop and go inside and kind of just have to feel like they've got to bear with it alone and get through it alone, and they're too much in their family. Whereas Ayurveda really says that the health of the woman determines the health of the family. So, you know, for me, it's like if we as women, aging women, can make our focus understanding this changing time, and not just our focus for ourselves, but for our children, for our friends, it's a wonderful opportunity for us all to become more educated about a very important phase in a woman's life. You know, we don't ignore women when they're pregnant. So why should we ignore women when they're going through menopause?
Yes, beautifully said. And I think you'd probably agree that the conversation is far more prevalent now. I'm pretty certain that 10 years ago when I started my business, there was very little online discussion around perimenopause and menopause, whereas I am being fed a lot of profiles now, probably because of where I sit on Instagram, but lots of profiles of people focusing purely on this era, which on this phase, which is so wonderful to see.
Yes, and I think, you know, I think it's wonderful for women, but I also have to acknowledge, you know, this morning I was driving and I really want to make this clear. Menopause doesn't just happen for women. It happens for men. Men have a transition phase. We are not the only ones who go out of their pitta phase into their vata phase. This happens for men, but it happens for women in a different way. So I need everyone to understand, yes, we're talking about it for women, but I also want us talking about it for men. The struggles that they have when they come to a point where they get sick of working and they don't want to be in the limelight anymore and they don't want to be making it all about work and they want to be a little bit more creative. Because I think if we can also understand that, we can understand a lot of the breakdowns in relationships that happen when men get to this menopause phase as well. So, you know, in India, in menopause, the men go off on a pilgrimage, a journey, and the women are left at home to have their time alone. And it's actually a very wise behavior because then, you know, the women get to go inside and the men get to go inside on a different way. Whereas what we see in Western society often is at that age a fragmenting because both people are changing, but they don't know the language and they don't know how to stay with each other by separating in a healthy way and coming back together. So I didn't mention this at all last time, but it's not just women who go from a pitta phase into this vata phase. Men are doing it as well, often a little bit later, but not always.
So, right. You interesting. Know, so that might have to be part three. Because that's not what I want to talk to you about today, but I definitely want to talk to you about that at some point. Now, during the first episode, you shared with us, and I will be encouraging people actually to go back and listen to this to the first episode before they continue if they haven't already. You shared the wisdom behind Ayurveda and how its principles markedly impact us as we age. You introduced the three doshas, Vata, Pitta and Kapha, and how that Vata imbalance becomes more evident as we approach midlife and beyond. Now, there was so much juicy information in that episode and we were limited with time, and I think this could be a really great opportunity to help women better understand how this imbalance plays out. And start then by diving a little bit deeper into some of the Vata symptoms that we might experience. So right. Off you go. So
just to recap and say that Vata means, or Vata rules movement in the body, and the elements of Vata are air and space. So Vata is going to be aggravated if we have an increase in air. So that can be if we're drinking a whole lot of sparkling mineral water or champagne, or if we're going up in the air to travel, or we're talking a lot and not having any space for silence. It can be impacted by what's in your physical space in your home. So if you're living in a giant home and your family's all left and you're feeling very alone in that home, it can be impacted by not having any time for yourself. So in your pitta years, you can just bookend everything and go from one thing to another, and it's a celebration if your diary is full. When we come into this vata phase in menopause, that can feel incredibly overwhelming. So what we can feel is an increase in anxiety in this phase as well. So the symptoms are anxiety. They're the inability to multitask like we're used to. So it's a sense of overwhelm. There's a desire to spend more time alone, even though that may not have been in your personality trait at all before. You could have been a total social butterfly, but there's just a desire to, just not go when people are inviting you. There's a real sense that you're lost and you don't even really know yourself. It's a real sort of, you don't know where to put yourself, you don't know what to do with yourself, and you don't even know if you want to do what you've done previously. There's a desire to try things you've always dreamed about. Dreaming becomes important when you reach that Vata phase because it's kind of like it's now or never. So, but there's also an increase in fear. Things become very frightening that may not have felt frightening. People may lose their balance physically and feel like they have issues with their ears and hearing, vertigo. They may feel that they have the inability to balance their life in a healthy way. They're either really working hard or they're exhausted, or they just can't seem to get a routine happening. They're just all over the shop, and then they've got the memory stuff, and the memory stuff can feel very frightening because the things that people would easily remember just slip through. So, you know, it seems things go in one ear and out the other. You know, you're constantly forgetting things. You'll write your shopping list, forget your shopping list. You know, you'll be walking around your house just going, where have I put that? Where have I put that? And that just becomes the mantra. What have I done with this? And so the air and space just seem like there's not a lot of clarity and not a lot of stability and not a lot of the ability to actually feel like your feet are fully on the ground. And, you know, it's like, it's hard to feel focused on what do I want? What am I doing? Where am I going? And yet having energy because you feel much more exhausted. Vata is a very fragile sign. It's air and space. It doesn't have earth like Kapha. It doesn't have water and it doesn't have fire. So fire in Ayurveda gives us direction, an ability to see a problem, fix a problem. And the Kapha gives us the grounding to go, it's okay, I'm here, we'll just have a little rest and, sort it out. Everything will be fine, whereas Vata just gets blown about by the wind. So you kind of feel like nothing is set in stone in this period.
And I guess what comes with this is great difficulty letting go of the way you believe you should be doing things, because to get to where you are today, you have done things a certain way, whether that is the way in which you run a business or a family, and letting go of some of those old routines and behaviours can be so intensely challenging, can't it?
Challenging and frightening.
And frightening. Well, and actually, if I could just come back to something that's sort of playing around in my head, as a 50-year-old woman running a business, I am acutely aware that at some point I'm going to be retiring. And I have so loved the time that I've spent in some consults with you, and you have been giving me this lovely permission to soften and to let go of things and to question how much is enough and how much abundance do I really need. But what keeps coming up for me, and I imagine it will with many other women, is the sense of this retirement. So yes, we might recognize that we need to slow down and create more balance in our lives, but we also need and want to have a reasonable retirement.
Absolutely. And Kapha rules security. So if you have a Kapha type personality, there's always going to be the question in your mind, what about money? What about money? What about money? Have I got enough money? And because, as I said, Vata relates to fear. It's going to be fear about money. Okay, well, and thinking of the worst case scenario. But the thing I need to say is slowing down doesn't mean that you're going to make less money. You can make just as much money, but do it in a much more effortless way. You know, this word, you know, we've got to hustle, you know, hustling is for your pity years. You know, in these Vata years, there's a much more gentle, intuitive approach. So it's slowing down enough to go, does that feel right? Okay, that feels right. Now I'll move. That's what I've decided to give my energy to. And because you've made the conscious choice to give your energy to it, but your intuition is kind of also giving you momentum, there's such a beautiful way that you're executing what you do that it kind of has this ability to draw people to you because you're in your authenticity rather than in this sort of scrambling kind of like way that can feel for a lot of people too much. Like those pity years can feel too much and people are really forcing themselves rather than this gentle moving towards. And I think when you get used to the fact that it's not about stopping totally, it's about being able to wisely select what is the best choice for you to make.
Which can only come if you slow down enough and give yourself some rest and space.
Absolutely, because Vata rules the ears, so it gives you the ability to listen to yourself, to listen to if you believe in higher power, if you believe in God, guides or angels or whatever you believe in. But for me, the most important thing is the listening to oneself because, you know, society has dampened down the power of women's intuition. They had to, you know, we're pretty powerful and we're incredible when it comes to knowing deep within ourselves the right things to do. The problem is we have not actually come back to that deep knowing ourselves. So this is the gift of menopause is when you hook in and really connect with your intuition, it's so powerful.
Beautiful. So many thoughts. Now, okay, so these are some of the symptoms that we might experience. So you mentioned, for example, anxiety, and I want to just come back to that because I know that there are a lot of women more than ever who are dealing with anxiety. If that is prevalent for somebody, are there recommendations that you would suggest?
Sure. So just to clarify what anxiety is and how it comes about. So anxiety comes about when we're not in the present moment. We're either in the future, worried about what's going to happen, or we're in the past, worried about what has happened. But in the present moment, if we can just be here and breathe and quieten the mind down, we can quieten the anxiety. So the anxiety is racing thoughts, racing heartbeats, things moving too quickly in the body. So it's the Vata. The Vata's up, 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 and we need to bring it down. So we can bring it down. Vata, the taste for Vata is sweet. So that is why most people who suffer from anxiety have a pretty secret sweet addiction. So it'll be chocolate or some type of sweet milky drink. But in Ayurveda, we do use the flavor of sweet, and it is an important way to ground Vata. So if you've been on one of these no sugar, no sweet, no fruit diets, then you will find that your anxiety is more heightened because you're taking any access to an anchor out of your physical body's sort of repertoire. So, you know, it's understanding the things that ground. So things that grow down into the ground ground you. So the root vegetables are a really great medicine to be having cooked when you are feeling highly anxious. Dairy is incredibly grounding as well. In Ayurveda, we always heat milk. So a warm, milky drink with some of your gorgeous maca powder. My favorite of all time drinks for my people with anxiety is my black sesame milk tahini that I have with maca powder and whatever milk you choose.
Ooh.
And a little bit of sweetener if it is feeling like you need it, but we don't in Ayurveda heat honey. So you can use a coconut sugar or a maple, but never heating honey over boiling point. But black sesame and black tahini are particularly calming for the vata. So they help ground. Anything that's high in fat grounds it, because vata is air and space. So adding fat to it just goes bloop and down it comes. So there is the importance of ghee, because ghee then is it coats the parts of the gut and really helps calm the gut down, because the seat of vata in Ayurveda is in the gut and in the mind. So most people with a vata imbalance will come to me going, I've got issues with my gut, gas, bloating, constipation. And it's like, yes, you've got vata in there. You're just becoming like this balloon that is not able to move the toxins and the byproduct of digestion out of the body. So we need to make sure that the vata is moving or not moving too much. So anxiety can come as a frozen state, or it can come as a too much movement state. But what happens is you need to be having a high fat, high protein diet, because if you're intermittent fasting and leaving a whole lot of space, which you've already got space if you've got a vata imbalance, you've already got space, so you don't want space between your meals. You want to be waking up and you want to be having something warm and milky when you wake up, like so your cup of tea, or if you want to have your coffee, it's drying. So we have to be careful with anything that's drying. You want to be putting a little bit of ghee in your coffee, especially if you've got your dry skin. So the medicine for the vata from a food perspective is we give it ghee. We give it the sweet flavor. So we give it that either a sweet milky drink, we give it sweet root vegetables which we've cooked, because uncooked food is crunchy and crisp and that is vata aggravating, or we give it sweetness in, as we've spoken about before, our interactions. What feels sweet on your heart? For me, one of the sweetest things I do is I wake up and I see my dog and he's always on his back waiting for me to scratch his tummy. And just that interaction brings such sweetness to my life, just rather than going, oh, quick, we've got to jump up and get out of bed and go, we can get so busy with the doing that we forget the little things that bring such sweetness. Like for me, I've just raised 5 baby chickens and I walk out and they go, hello, babies, and they come running towards me. And,
Can I just interrupt you on that moment? It's so funny you should say that, Jodie, because on my Instagram stories, I've been sharing, probably to the disinterest of some, but hopefully the interest of others, there's a spotted dove who has taken residence in a tiny little tree right at my front door. And it's built a nest in there. And only a week or a couple of weeks ago, it had 2 little chicks. And they're right at my front door. And I just can't believe how brave they are. They just sit there and look at us. And the joy, and so today I took photos to show everybody, the mother, but the joy that it brings me. Every day I go out and I say hello to them.
And Amy, that is better than any supplement anyone is going to give you for your gut. Because this sweetness is the sweetness that we as humans have discounted. And the sweetness we get from nature is extraordinary. You know, the way animals are trying to communicate with us and what we can get from them. So what grounds Vata is being in nature, listening. Like for me, listening to the birds, listening to their sounds, listening to what their little conversations. So the more we feel sort of racy in our head and really frightened of things, try to get yourself outside because, you know, yes, food can really help, but nothing helps like nature. Nothing helps like nature. It is just laying on the grass and letting the sun kiss your face after a long winter, like both you and I have had, Amy. We live in areas where it feels like, you know, it was a joke, not a joke, really. And just, you know, every day I walk outside when the sun's there now, and it's just, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. These are sweet things. These are such sweet things. And so this is how we learn to retire. This is how we learn to slow down. This is how we learn to make precious something rather than the currency of cash, you know? So it's like we can go, we can, you know, the pity years, we're focused on finances, you know, that is our currency. Whereas in the Vata years, the currency becomes those very special moments of, oh my goodness, that was just me and that. And, you know, I feel full. I feel happier than when I've bought anything at a shop.
Yeah.
And that's what we're invited to allow into our lives, because that's the phase that we've entered.
So, Jodie, can I just briefly take you back to your mention of fasting? Because I've actually got a girlfriend of mine in mind who I know loved listening to your first episode, and she religiously fasts. And there might be some more people listening going, oh no, but I rely on that for weight loss, which I know many women do. Can you just speak a little bit more about fasting?
Sure. So we have three doshas, and of those doshas, we need to understand that if you are a constitution that can easily add weight to your body, then you have a kapha tendency and you can definitely benefit from fasting. So it's just asking yourself the question as you're doing that fasting, am I feeling anxious during this fasting period? Am I having this sense of shakiness? While I'd like, do I get to when I've given myself the opportunity to eat and I've got a bit of shaking going on? Am I having trouble hearing? Have I got vertigo? Have I got really dry skin? Have I got cracking nails? Am I unable to shut up? Am I constantly talking with an inability to listen? And I need to say this to every woman. You know, as we move through these years we go into menopause, there is a natural bedding down of a little bit of extra fat. And as we come out of menopause, that will actually come away. So anyone who's got a kapha personality and a kapha body type is obsessed with their weight. That's always been a thing they've had to manage. So if you are going to be fasting in Ayurveda, Tuesday is the fasting day. It's the day of Saturn, and to please Saturn, we fast. So if you are a kapha type of person who doesn't feel anxiety, or if you're a pitta type of person who's perhaps got a lot of heat coming up, hot flushes during menopause, then the liver can definitely benefit and will be very happy with fasting. But understand there's a method to fasting. You know, fasting isn't starving. You know, you can do a Khichdi fast for a day or a congee fast for a day, or in my online cleansers, I have people do bone broth fast for a day, and they get just as much benefit, if not more, from those, from a directed fast, than just like starving yourself. So there's always a way to have a fasting protocol. Just try to do it in a supervised way if you haven't done it before. But if weight loss is your goal, then yes, you can. You've probably got enough fat on board to take you through that day, but be sure that you stay hydrated. And if I was, you know, saying to most of my clients, that would be hydrated with a broth or a ginger tea or something like that to keep some warmth, just so the vata doesn't get in. I wouldn't be fasting on days where it's really rain, really windy, because wind is vata, so it's going to aggravate the vata. And there's times of year where fasting is recommended, which is autumn, letting go of all of that celebratory food, and spring, because in winter we eat a much heavier diet most of the time. So as we come into spring, the liver goes, yes, please, let's get rid of it. And it's a perfect time to fast then. But if you're fasting yourself, you know, be really honest with yourself. Am I actually fasting and it's creating another problem? So am I fasting and then I'm constipated? Am I fasting and I feel insanely anxious? Am I fasting and I am waking up four times during the night and not being able to go back to sleep? These are all vata red flags, so you need to listen to them, because the thing about kaphas is they're stubborn. So they'll be so stubborn that this is how I lose weight, and I've always got to lose weight this way, but I've got a gut problem now and I'm falling over, but I'm thin. Well, that ain't working, honey. You've got to change that script, you know? So it's, how am I fasting? When am I fasting? Why am I fasting? And how am I feeling before I make the choice to fast?
Brilliant.
So, you know, if you, and I always say to people, bring everything in. So if you want to start fasting, fast in the kapha times of day, 6 till 10 in the morning, 6 till 10 in the evening. So for me, if I say to any of my clients who are looking to lose weight, drop breakfast. Breakfast is the easiest thing to drop. Just get it out of the way. You don't need it if you're carrying extra weight. For kaphas and possibly pittas, because pittas have insatiable appetites and they tend to overeat, so then the liver gets stressed, and in menopause the liver's got a lot of work to do, so it happily drops breakfast. But then what we can also do is, because dinner is in kapha time, we can make dinner into a broth. Very simple. Make your dinner light and effortless. Make your main meal in the middle of the day between 10 and 2, when pitta is at its highest and your metabolism is at its highest, and get rid of snacking. The West's obsession with snacking and protein bars, I'm sorry anyone who makes protein bars, but it is unnecessary for us to be eating snacks as we age, because, you know, vata doesn't have as big an appetite as we had in those pitta years. We're not doing as much. We shouldn't be doing as much, really. So, you know, there is definitely things, but we need to watch, you know, are you getting at all shaky? Are you getting incredibly forgetful? These are vata signs, and they are vata cautions that are saying, please don't do fasting. I need you to take care of me. I need you to do eating. So anyone who's very thin in the body, very anxious and constipated, No fasting for you. It's eating for you.
Okay. So, Jodie, this takes us beautifully onto another question, actually, that I have for you, which is around exercise. Because many of us grow up believing if you flog yourself in the gym when you run 10 kilometres a day, you can keep the weight off. Now, some of us have learnt that cardio or going to the gym doesn't work for us anymore. Some perhaps might need permission to slow down on that front. Could you share some your perspective around exercise at this time?
Okay, so VADA, as I said before, rules movement. I just have to turn my dog's dinner off. Just one second. Sorry, everybody. So with the movement, we need to be aware why we are moving. Are we moving because we're addicted to moving and we've told ourselves that moving keeps us thin? Or are we moving because movement is a good thing for us? So with Vata, it shows up in the joints and it gets a real stiffness in the joints. Now, Vata is conditioned to want to move. So the moment I say to my Vata clients, you need to slow down, but I like to walk, but I like to do this, but I. Oh my goodness.
Yep.
So this is where we know that's what's needed. But when I say to my CAFA clients who don't necessarily like to move, you need to move. Because for CAFA, when it comes to that time that things are slowing down, they need to actually move their bodies. So the time, again, when you're going to move is important. So Vatas need to move less. So absolutely fine for Vatas to move. Just move one thing at a time. So walking and talking, not encouraged. Walk with your dog and do it quietly, or listen to something, some beautiful music, or listen to the birds. They're the most beautiful music you can hear. So, and be in nature. Just rather than a lot of people sort of are trying to multitask when they move. So this is a thing that Pitta can do, not so much Vata. So I'd suggest if someone wanted to listen to a podcast, to walk and then maybe sit on a bench and then listen.
So Jodie, can I just ask you about the walking and talking? Because a lot of us, I walk on my own a lot, and I have over the last year listened to less and less podcasts and things in my ears because I just find it much more calming, as you said, listening to birds. However, lots of women, to encourage each other to exercise, will catch up with a friend for a walk and walk and talk, which is quite a lovely way to exercise. Are you sort of discouraging that as a regular habit?
If they've got constipation and if they've got big Vata signs, because their walking and talking is often a nervous thing. So maybe try walking and listening. If your habit is to do, then try to undo. So if you're the talker, then I encourage you to be the listener and ask your friend to help you out. Say, you know, let's get honest with each other, because there's usually a CAFA person who's listening and a Vata person who's talking and a Pitta person who's performing. That's the way the doshas go. So oftentimes there'll be the Vata person who's very nervous talking to her CAFA friend who'll just be mothering her. So if you want to walk and talk, then switch it over. Encourage your CAFA friend to do some talking and you do some listening, because for Vatas, medicine for them is walking and listening. And for CAFAs, it's actually moving their mouth a little bit and sharing on a little bit of a deeper level, because CAFAs are a little bit secretive about what's going on. They'll tell you what's going on for their son, their daughter, their mother-in-law, everybody at work. But what you actually know about CAFAs is pretty deep down. It takes a while to excavate that rock. So my thing is, walking in kaffir time, and if you have to talk, do it, but have some quiet time. Like if you're waking up, talking to your husband or your partner or your lover, and then you're talking to your dog and then walking with your friend, then you're coming back in, you're having your breakfast, you're talking to your partner again, and then you're getting to work and you're talking again, that's way too much talking. That's Vada's just like exhausted, and we haven't even started the day. By 2 o'clock, they're just like going, oh my gosh, I need to eat a whole block of chocolate now. So monitoring the talk, monitoring how much you're doing and how much you're just talking for the sake of it. You know, getting really aware of, like, it's a beautiful thing to walk and look and then say, wow, look at that lady's garden over there, and really take it in, because otherwise you're not being present when you're talking. You're just sort of oftentimes for Vata, they're rambling. It's a nervous behavior and they don't even know they're doing it half the time. So the times for movement, we are looking to discourage movement in between the Vata times, which are 2 and 6 in the afternoon. So these are our times we're trying to get still. It's also not great to do a lot of big physical movement between 6 and 10 in the evening, because that's when we should be preparing ourselves for sleep. So another thing that creates Vata that we haven't talked much about is telephones and technology. So if you are on a computer a lot, try to make it in these Vata years, try to make it in the earlier part of the day. I try to do the majority of my computer work and my talking work as much as possible in the morning from about 9 to, well, I don't start work at 9. Who am I joking? these days I start work at 11. So in between 11 and sort of 2 or 3, and then if, you know, with my counselling work, I tend to do more my listening work in the afternoon where I don't have to talk as much. So I'm listening in the Vata time. I'm more intuitive in my Vata time. So I move in the kapha time in the morning between 6 and 10. I do my heady work, my really thinking, my intellectualizing work in the pitta time, which is 10 till 2. And then I do my creative and my listening work in the Vata time between 2 and 6. And then between 6 and 10, I'm preparing myself for rest and sleep. So from a physical exercise point of view, your best time to be exercising is 6 to 10 and in winter when the body feels more sluggish. When the body is hot, we try not to overstress it. So we do more cooling exercise. So you do a yin yoga practice rather than going to a hot yoga in the middle of the day. Like that's just heat on top of heat. So the type of exercise may need to change as we go into the period, this period of life. So you may have been someone in your, if you're a cold bug, and you know, a lot of people who are very Vata feel the cold, they might be quite attracted to like a warmer style Pilates, like there's heat Pilates now that you can do. So they might find that a wonderful style of exercise for them because it's strengthening and it's warming, you know, whereas someone who's a real hot-blooded person who's getting hot flushes would be much better going to do a yin yoga class rather than be going and doing a hot Pilates class. And someone who is really kapha needs to do a much more stimulating class, especially if they're putting on weight. So if they're putting on weight, they need to get some fire into their body. They need to get the body moving. So they could go and do a hot Pilates, or they could even go and do a much more sort of vinyasa style of yoga class, because they the Kapha types who've got the bigger bodies, they're able to have the endurance. They can even still run through this period of time because they have got a body that can handle it. But it's the Vata types in the Vata phase have to be really careful if they think they're going to still keep on running, because the first place it's going to show up is in their joints. They're going to go, oh, my knee, oh, not my knee, my neck. Oh, Vatas end up with so many injuries if they keep on doing high intensity exercise in this period of their life. They'll also start to see a lot of vertigo happen. They'll just, that will be their thing. I've just constantly got ringing in my ears. It's like, yes, because you're exhausted. And no matter how much you don't like sitting still, it is something you are going to have to learn to do. Like, it is never going to be totally comfortable for someone who's Vata to be still.
No. I have my hand up there.
Yeah. So
yeah,
it's a hard. Learned behavior that we have to do gently and softly and sweetly. And we really have to make note, like literally make a list. Oh, my goodness, I just laid, you know, like you, Amy, sent me a photo of you laying in the sun reading a book with your shorts on. And it was like, yay, she's learning. I was so happy, because it's not easy for Vata to slow down. Like, it's not enjoyable for Kapha to move. Mm. You know, we're asking rocks to move. Like, Earth is the constitution, the element of the Kapha constitution, earth and water. So it's either mud or rock. You know, rather than soft, and we're looking for it to be soft, airy earth with a bit of moisture in it. And for Vata, we don't want tornadoes. We just want a gentle breeze, you know, and they're being very happy being cyclones, hurricanes, and tornadoes. And so we're now just asking them to be just a soft breath, maybe.
Yeah.
So it's learning how to moderate your elements so that it feels nice to be within your own skin. And exercise has become something that we have become mesmerized with in the West, and we have become unquestioning of. And this is my point. I was just listening to my teacher Claudia talk, and she's just been in Vadigrama in India, and that's where it's a wonderful place to do Panchakarma. And when you do Panchakarma, everything is simplified and your diet is very, very very, very easily digested. And there's no exercise at all. And she said she came back from India feeling better than she's ever felt, you know, this trip. And she's in menopause, her menopausal years. And the moment she landed, she felt compelled to start exercising again and going and doing her walks. And she said she felt really depleted by it. And she felt kind of saddened by the fact that she hadn't really questioned that just dedication to something that's just become so much a part of our lives, that it's like we're failing when we're not exercising our bodies. And we don't really want, I can only speak for myself here, where I'll often feel way better if I don't exercise, but it's like the guilt is following behind, saying in my, you've not exercised today. You've not exercised. Like there's someone coming after 3 days going, excuse me, Jody, we've noticed you've not exercised. And that's just not really like the jam of like an Australian woman in her 50s, is she's kind of got her serious, sensible, being a good woman going on. So you might just want to think about that and get back to your exercise protocol very soon. Otherwise, there will be people coming to have a very big conversation. Fine, you know, and it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Jody, can I just, oh my God, I just have to share. God, this is resonating with me. Not a day goes by that I don't move, for good or for bad, for right or for wrong. But I remember when I had chronic fatigue, At its absolute worst, I had to go to Tassie and live with mum and dad because I was a lot of the time bedridden, couldn't work, couldn't see friends. My lifelong exercise habit was so entrenched that I had to prove to myself that I could still keep functioning. I got up in the dark in the middle of winter in Tassie. It could be -2 or -3 degrees at 6 o'clock in the morning. And even if all I did was walked around the block, which was sometimes the best I could do, I still bloody well made myself do it. Even, and my dad, I remember him distinctly saying, "Ames, you know you don't actually have to get up at that hour now because you don't have to go to work and there's nothing else you need to do. And you actually don't have to do it every day." And yet I still did, even if I felt terrible, because I believed that if I stopped, something would unravel. There was a sense of something will unravel, or I'll just lose all connection to who I was, or something will go wrong. This is what you do to stay well. So, and I just had to share that because I
thank you for
really
sharing
resonating
that, because this is also what happens for a lot of people who've had a kapha part of their dosha. So there is, for a lot of people with a kapha, you know, we're never one dosha, but with kapha, there's the tendency to put on weight and put on weight quickly. So a lot of women realize that it's a formula. You know, you move, you stay in the accepted dress size of the West. In Ayurveda, we have more than one dress size. We have acceptable dress sizes for vatas. We have acceptable dress sizes for pittas, and we have acceptable dress sizes for kaphas. And they're different. Kaphas have a beautiful rounded body shape, and it's never going to change unless you want to become insane by moving your body constantly so that you look like a vata. But the price of that is you're going to have a vata gut issue, which is going to show up as constipation, bloating, IBS, like keep on rambling on, whichever one you want to pick, I don't care. So I come from a yoga lineage where you move in yoga because that's a way to keep the mind kind of occupied. And then as you become more advanced, or the gurus, the yogis who, you know, all the pictures of the older, more mature yogi men, they've all got these beautiful Buddha bellies and these rounded body shapes, and they don't need to move anymore because they've come to a place of such stillness within themselves. They don't have to fight off the demon of the mind, the monkey mind, you know, whereas we're still indulging this monkey mind by saying, okay, we'll take you for the exercise, we'll take you for the walk, but it's still got us. It's got us. And for me, I'm trying to, in these years, slow down and be able to look that monkey in the eyes and go, you know what? I don't believe you anymore.
Yes.
I don't actually believe you. I'm going to challenge you. I might move today, but I'm going to ask myself deep inside myself. I'm going to go to my gut, and I'm going to go to my heart, and I'm going to ask them. You know, because my teacher, when I was in Ayurvedic school, Dr. Ajit said to me, you know, there's like, out in the ether, we're flying around, and there's a body and there's a mind and there's a soul. And the body goes, I want to go back down there to earth. I want to go down there. And the mind goes, ooh, I really want to go back there. And the body goes, oh, no, now I think about it, I kind of hurt when I was there. And you, the mind, you never listened to me. You always told me we had to do stuff. Even when I was sore, you said I had to get up and I had to do things. You weren't really nice to me. And the soul just goes, are you guys kidding? It was like I didn't even exist. You guys just were like worried about what you looked like, worried about what you thought. But it was like no one even talked about me. And so Dr. Ajit used to say to us, you know, notice how much weight you give the mind when it comes to your body. You know, he'd say, all you people in the West, fighting with the machines in the gyms, eating your organic, super duper organic chocolate. He said, you know, it's kind of funny, really. How much do you really ask yourselves, what's good for me?
Yeah.
What's really, really good for me?
Now, Jody, at this point in our podcast discussion, I have some more questions, but I wanted to ask, do you have more time to be with us today?
Yes, I do have more time
Good.
To be.
Because what I think I'm going to do is put this into two episodes, if that's
sure.
All right with you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. This was episode 46 of Woman, Conversations for the Curious. You'll find all of Jodie's links and today's show notes over at theholisticingredient.com/46. As always, if you're enjoying the series and you've 2 minutes to leave a review on your favourite podcast app, I'd truly appreciate it. Until next time, stay curious.